school chaplain, if you will, for Prince of Peace Christian School in Carrollton, Texas. And it's my pleasure to be with you today on behalf of Pastor Tom, who's off doing who knows what, relaxing and enjoying a time off. It's my pleasure to fill in for him today. So thank you. Thank you for being here. If you're a guest here like me, know that you're welcomed. Let's go ahead and stand up and notice each other, socially distance around, and wave to each other and say good morning. And then we'll begin with our Advent litany. Morning. 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 Let us begin with our Advent responsive litany.
All creation lies in waiting in the stillness of the night, with hope anticipating the advent of eternal light.
We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. We wait in hope for our Lord. He is our help and our shield.
Reminds us that as we wait upon the Lord, God's light never ceases to shine. God's will never ceases to unfold, and God's grace never ceases to be felt. As we begin the journey of Advent, may we learn to wait upon the Lord with hopeful expectation by celebrating all God has done and anticipating all he will do.
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the aid of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that attentive to your word, we may confess our sins, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life. To the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you and forgive you all your sins. Our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. We continue with our opening hymn, The Advent of Our King.
Responsibly with me, Psalm 80, verses 1 through 7. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. Restore us, O God, let your face shine, that we may be saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our reading is from Isaiah 64, verses 1 through 9. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence, as when fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, and the nations might tremble at your presence.
When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down the mountain, quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides you who acts for those who wait for him. You meet him who joyfully works righteousness, those who remember you in their ways. Behold, you were angry and we sinned. In our sins, we have been a long time and we shall be saved. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name who rouses himself to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. And we are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember that iniquity forever. Remember not the iniquity forever. Behold, please look, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
Would you please rise for the reading of the gospel? The gospel today comes from Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem, the Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied, on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it, and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told them what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God." You may be seated. So our focus text today for our message was verse 8 from the Old Testament reading in Isaiah 64. "But now, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our potter. We are the work of your hands." Advent is a time of waiting. It's a time where we remember and celebrate Christ Jesus, who came and came into this world as a child at that time, the first time. But also, it's a time of preparation. It's a time where we prepare our hearts and our minds as we wait his second coming, a time for him when he will come again and usher in a new heaven and a new earth. So for us, we're living in this time between the Advents, where Christ has come once but not again, and we are truly on an adventure. I see what Pastor Tom did there, an adventure. Which is interesting because most of the time when that word adventure is used in my life with my family, it usually means we're lost. So my wife, Ashley, the conversation will go one of two ways. The first way is I'll look at her and I'll say, "Hey, do you want to go on an adventure?" And she'll think about where we actually are trying to go while we're driving. And if we have time, she'll say, "Sure." And that means that we're going to go on roads we haven't gone on before. We're going to kind of travel around and try to get lost. And as we do that, we notice the architecture and we find new restaurants to visit and new shops to go visit. And so it's an adventure. We get lost and then we find our way back, and it's an adventure. The other time is we're actually lost. We've been driving around for a while, and the conversation goes like this. My 9-year-old in the back, who's very perceptive, goes, "Are we lost?" And either myself or my wife will respond with, "No, we're just on an adventure." And that kind of brings us to this text today, where we're kind of on an adventure, a little bit lost, but not quite. And we come to this, "Yet you, but now," depending on your translation. "But now," and I love buts in the Bible because they're textual tour guides. They let you know, hey, wait, you can't just start here. You have to kind of know what's coming. And so we see a "but now" or "yet you." And this tells us, hey, wait, we have to go back a little bit. And it's key because our Old Testament reading today is smack dab in the middle of this prayer that Isaiah is praying for the nation of Israel. And so we have to go back to chapter 63, starting at verse 7. And you know what? I forgot to grab a Bible, so I'm going to grab this one right here. And so to truly understand what God has for us in our Old Testament reading today and for our focus, we have to go back into chapter 63. And we see that it's a prayer. It's a prayer of praise, a prayer of deliverance and of mercy. So starting in verse 7, it says, "I will tell you the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which he is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things he has done for the house of Israel according to his compassion and many kindnesses. He said, surely they are my people, sons who will not be false to me. And so he became their savior. In all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of the presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. And I want to stop there right now, because yes, this was a prayer that Isaiah was praying for the exile soon to be in Babylon, but it's also a prayer for us as believers today, and in fact, prayer for all believers of all time, because there's these great promises of God that Isaiah is speaking of, but they lie in the future, right? And they lie in the future for us, beyond the apparent world that we live in now of sin, of death, of violence, of toil, and trouble. And so verse 9 here should bring us, it should bring us great comfort, and we should treasure it, really, for listen to it. It says, in all their distress, he too was distressed, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and mercy, he redeemed them, he lifted them up, and carried them all the days of old. So God, we see here, is not detached or distant. He is not remote, somewhere off, looking down, but he's there. In our afflictions, he too is afflicted. And what's more, he has redeemed us, and he has delivered us by the blood of his own dear son. The first advent, when Jesus came, was for this moment to deliver us. And so our prayers flow from this deep faith in the grace and mercy of what God has done and what God will do, what he's proven who he is, and we've seen time and time again him display that for us. And so let's continue on in this prayer now. Verse 10, yet they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned and became their enemy, and he himself fought against them. Then his people recalled the days of the old, the days of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them through the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who set his Holy Spirit among them, who sent his glorious arm of power to be at Moses' right hand, who divided the waters before them to gain for himself everlasting renown, who led them through the depths like a horse in the open country, and they did not stumble like the cattle that go down to the plain, they were given rest by the Spirit of the Lord. So I want to stop there. As confident as we are of God's grace that we heard Isaiah display in the first part of this prayer, we still see rebellion. And that's the perverse nature of our human spirit, that we can be confident and recognize the grace of God, and yet still rebel against him. So while we are confident in his grace, we are also aware and sure of our sins that grieve him. And the Israelites displayed this very well, I think, when we talk about the manna from heaven, right? So they had this miraculous bread given to them every morning. Yet as they were eating of it, they complained to God about it. So then we see sin throttling their joy and turning them away from God. And that does the same for us today. Our human spirit hasn't changed much since then. Sin still turns us away from God. It throttles our joy. And it leads us to other things. Leads us to ourselves. Leads us to the things of this world. And then we start to play the if game, right? If this, then I'll be happy. A lot of us probably played that recently, right? If my guy gets elected or reelected, then things in this nation will turn around, right? We turn to politics and trust in our elected leaders to make our life happy. Or maybe it's our career. Maybe we say, if I just work hard enough to get this promotion, then life will be easier. If I just get this bonus, then my financial burden will be eased and life will be better. Maybe it's our relationships. If this person just notices me, if I can just receive more love from my husband or wife, if my kids could just obey me a little bit better, then life would be better, then life would be good. And the trouble is when we put our hope into the things of this world, it's a false hope. People aren't perfect, and they will let us down. Even those who love us the most will let us down and will fail us at times. Goals in our careers, they just get reset, right? Well, I got this promotion, now I need to get this promotion. Well, I got this corner office, but this corner office is bigger. Well, if I just do this, right? Even financials, well, I have this much money, but now if I just have a little bit more, then I could get this or that. And material things, they deteriorate. And we have to replenish them, and we have to buy new ones. Our old models aren't good enough, and so we need new ones. Apple has cashed in on this, right? They released a new phone, it seems like, every 9 months. It's a false hope. We'll never be satisfied by the things of this world. Sin, death, violence, toil, and trouble will still exist. And so we, the faithful, were driven to prayer just as Isaiah was driven to prayer. I mentioned that I'm a upper school chaplain. I teach theology to mainly juniors and seniors. Every now and then a sophomore gets thrown in there just for fun. I work to craft the chapels each week. And one of the biggest joys that I have, one of the biggest privileges that I have is that I get to pray for the students in my care on a daily basis. I get to pray with them and for them. And I don't know how often you get to interact with high school age students. It's a wide gamut when you talk about personalities. And so I start every class in prayer, and I take prayer requests. What do you have to pray for? And some of them are silent and quiet, and they just kind of sit there and try not to make eye contact. And I kind of just embrace the awkwardness of silence, and I sit there and wait a little bit. And most of the time, and I think you'll find this with most anybody, not just high school students, but if you ask, is there something I can pray for, they'll think of one thing or something or another, right? They'll think of at least one thing. Oh, yeah, pray for this. And so most of the time it's, oh, yeah, I have a test next period or tomorrow or a paper due or can you pray for the test that I just took that the teacher will have mercy and compassion as they grade it. Every now and then we'll get the, can you pray for our whatever athletic contest is coming up? We'll get the handful of, well, my mom is sick, or my aunt is in the hospital or just had surgery. And every now and then, we pray for somebody who passed away, and we pray for death. And it sounds really morbid, but those times of prayer for death, when someone has died, is some of the best ministry that I can do as a teacher, as a pastor there, because I get to show them the difference between the hope that a believer has and the hope that a non-believer has. Because it's nowhere, at least in my opinion, nowhere more apparent than in death. And so we talk about how, man, if they know Jesus, we know it's not the end. If they know Jesus, we know that there is eternal life, that whatever, if they died from an illness, that they're relieved of that, that it's gone, that there's no more death where they're at, there's no more sin where they're at. And we long for that day to come, right? We long for the new heaven and new earth to be ushered into our lives. Whereas if we don't have faith, then our hope is, well, depending on what we believe, I hope they were good enough to have a second life. Or even worse, there is no hope, and now it's just done and they're gone. And so being able to sit in front of high school age young adults and kind of and lay out this hope that I have as a believer is truly truly a privilege. And it's this hope that brings us to our main text today. In verse 64, or in chapter 64, it kind of echoes the prayer that we saw begun in 63, where we recognize how great God is and we remember the goodness of what he has done and his faithfulness to his people. And then we expose who we are as sinners. And in fact, verse 6 describes all our righteous acts. So all the good stuff that we could do are merely filthy rags. But we have this hope, right? And so verse 8 comes, and we cling to the hope that we hear in verse 8. Yet, but now, right? That is, in spite of our sin, and in spite of the fact that our best is nothing more than filthy rags, we have this hope that believers cling to, hope in an undeserved grace. Yet, despite who we are, you are our Father. This is our cry of faith, that even though, yes, our sin is disgusting and it separates us from God, faith turns to God and depends on his gracious promise. You are our Father. And so as we adventure through this life, we do so with this hope, rooted in the faithfulness of our gracious God, who looks upon us and says, "You, I choose you." And in faith, we can say, "You are our Father," not because what we have done, but because of what he has done for us. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I pray that this world would not be so enticing that we would fall into its traps and put our hope in that. Lord, but I pray that in faith we may fall on our knees and cry out to you, "You are our Father." And that we can have our hope rooted securely in that truth, that you are who you say you are, that you are who you've been and will continue to be. As we eagerly await your Son coming again, we pray that we can continue to remember that you are with us on this adventure of life. And we pray all this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand as we confess our faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. I do want to point out that today we will be praying for Bob Fransky. Bob fell on Friday and broke his back, but he is at home and recovering now, and so we will pray for Bob and for his wife, Ann, that they can both be surrounded with God's Holy Spirit as they work through this. So please join me in prayer. Grace, Heavenly Father, we come to you as your people, crying out that you are our God. And we ask that you would reveal yourself to us in our lives the same way that you have from your people of all time. Lord, we lift up to you our nation and its leaders, and pray that you would continue to provide godly counsel for them as they seek to lead us. We pray for our military and first responders that you would provide and protect them as they perform their duties to keep us safe. We ask that you'd be with our world health leaders as they work to fight against COVID-19. And we pray for relief to come and that a vaccine would be found soon. Lord, we pray for our friends and family who are hurt, sick or injured, particularly be with Bob and with Ann. We pray that Bob's recovery would go well, that you would heal him, and that you would provide for Ann during this time, that you would bring people into their lives that can care for both of them. And Father, we ask that you would be with us today and all the days of our lives, that we would not be just so distracted by the things of this world, but that our hope would be continually rooted in who you are and who you will be, God our Father. Into your hands, eternal God, we offer our prayers, trusting your love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Almighty God, Father and Son and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We end with our closing hymn, Now Thank We All Our God.